Lord, we come before you recognizing that you are far beyond our description. You are far beyond human words to fully encompass your wonder. And Father, we recognize that in that presence, Lord, we are not as we should be. But thank you that we are not as we once were. Lord, sin was our master, and often it seeks to reassert its power over us. But Lord, in your goodness, there is freedom. There is freedom to live as we were designed and destined to. Thank you for that liberty that we have in Christ. Thank you for breaking the chains of sin, healing our brokenness, and cleansing us from sin. Give us grace to press on, to become more like you, to surrender to your will in every aspect of our lives, and to be conformed into your image so that the world might see you through us. Give us the confidence in you that you will always keep your promises to us. When we fail, Lord, we praise you that you are still faithful. As we look to your word now, would you come and have your way among us? Continue to transform us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, you are invited to Children's Church. You may be seated. What would you say is one of the biggest obstacles to a church reaching its community, as we talked about last week, seeking, to a church utilizing the gifts God has given it in the community in which He has placed them, of connecting to one another, and of truly worshiping God? What would you say is one of the biggest inhibitions? In my experience, it's when people feel like Christianity doesn't change anything or anyone. They look and they see a whole bunch of people that do a whole bunch of stuff, but it really doesn't do a whole lot. Doesn't change very much. And with all that goes into what we do as a church body and as believers, somebody might look at that and say, what's the point, right? If it's not changing anything or anyone, it's a whole lot of activity and not a whole lot of effect. And this doubt doesn't just apply to skeptics. Sometimes even we Christians can start to wonder, what's the point of it all? Because I don't feel like I'm changing the way that I should. By the way, that is not limited to you alone. There are days that I feel like an absolutely horrible Christian as well. That my walk with God is not as it should be. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've probably felt like you should be farther along than you are, that you aren't living up to what you know is right, that even when you know where you want to be and where to be better, you just aren't. It can happen early in your faith, or it can happen years after you've come to Christ. You are never too mature to struggle with a concept that you are not where you should be. Let's be honest, none of us are. Can we start at that point of honesty this morning? Growth in faith, I have the privilege of telling you, is absolutely possible, and it absolutely changes people. And it's really hard work. You're never too mature to grow, by the way. That is all part of why we included, the elder board, when we were asked, what is grace about? We are wrapping up today the series, Grace ID, where we are looking at the vision that we, through prayer and interacting with God's word and each other, we believe this is where God has brought us as a church. And this is the mission statement that on November 10th, during the quarterly business meeting, we will be discussing. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers in Jesus Christ. That last part isn't last because it's the least important. It's last because that is the culmination of everything that we have seen in sections 1 through 4. That as we are worshiping God, as we are connecting as a community, as we are serving our community, and as we are seeking the lost, all of that becomes a community in which we grow more like Christ. This mission statement led us to this model where we see at the very foundation of all this is that worshiping. We see the connecting and then branching off into serve, seek, and grow. And we have talked about this. If you are just stepping into this, you're getting the dessert. You might want to go to our website or our app and listen to the sermons online, gracetyrone.net. And make sure you've got plenty of time. The preacher's long-winded. It's horrible. But all of these network together, and they interlink. If you remove any one of these pieces, the entire thing will crumble. We need all of these pieces to work together. And that led us to a logo. This is not necessarily the final carved in stone, but this gives us a picture of what we are talking about, a model that you can look at very simply and very quickly understand if you understand everything that we've talked about so far, what we are about. And honestly, this design is the least important. What is most important is the mission itself. And today we are going to talk about that final part, growing. And we use the color green, that green arrow at the very top of the logo. The color green is associated with life, advancement, and growth. It identifies environments that support vibrance, development, and productivity. So, you go to the Amazon rainforest, what is the color you are going to see? Green. Or you pull that loaf of bread out of the fridge that's been there for several months. What color is it? Green, because it's got life there. It's supporting life. In the same way, when God calls us to eternal life, He calls us to a lifetime. Get that? A lifetime of growth and being conformed to His image. Without spiritual growth, there is no spiritual life or health. It is so important that we understand that. If there is no growth in our life, we're going to see today that not only is that neutral, not only is that like not okay, that is actually damaging to our walk with God. See, we want to be a community that promotes vibrance in our spiritual life, development in our walk with God, and productivity in our service for His kingdom. We want to be a community where people grow. Everyone grows. Because everybody has a next step. The foundation of all this is God's Word. We grow through God's Word. Many of us were lied to as a kid. I spoke about this when we introduced this series. We sang a song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and we'll grow, grow, grow. Lies, pure lies. Because you read your Bible and pray every day, and you've read your Bible, and you've prayed. Growth takes much more than those things. Honestly, yes, we will need to read our Bible as frequently as possible. Every hour, not just every day, if you can. And pray, not just every day, every moment. But it is so much more than just those two things. It requires those, but it also expands beyond those. God has not called us to come to a building on Sunday to sit in a seat, sing some songs and hear some words spoken, flip through some pages of the Bible and mumble some prayers. He has called us to a vibrant, thriving, personal relationship with Him that is growing deeper every day and transforms us from the inside out as we are made more like Him. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about growing. This is based in God's Word and happens when we are hungering and thirsting after God. By the way, we are each responsible for our own spiritual growth. It is not my job as pastor to make sure you're growing spiritually. It is my job to give you every opportunity to do so. It is not the elder's responsibility. It is not the deacon's responsibility. It's not even the person in the seat next to you. It's yours. To make sure that you are growing. We grow deeper in our relationship to God and each other when we connecting, when we are connecting and when we are growing and glorifying over God's word. It's where we get to see his heart. In previous weeks, we've seen that the people of God point to God, that the people that belong to God belong together, that caring people are serving people, and that found people find people. This week, we're going to talk about the principle behind grow, is that God's people grow through God's word. God's people grow by God's word. Which leads us to our first big question with this. Why? What should be our motivation behind growth? There must be a great reason behind all this effort, and more than just growth for growth's sake. Growth for growth's sake is the ideology of a cancer cell or a cult. It's got to be in the right direction. It's got to have a trajectory. I've reached a point in life where I have stopped growing up, but I'm still growing out. Growth has got to be in the right direction. I'm not okay with growing out. We have to be growing in the right direction. Otherwise, we are no better than a cancer cell. If we are only growing for the sake of growth. So that is not what I'm going to tell you today. Well, you should grow because, well, you should grow. Not it. If we grow just to grow, that could actually be more damaging than just being at a standstill. We could grow in the wrong things or in the wrong direction. So we must grow with a direction of pursuing maturity. When we are saved, the Bible calls it being born again. And that is a really good picture for what we are talking about today. Because a baby is maturing. Like a baby needs milk to develop and to grow, baby Christians need what the Bible calls spiritual milk to grow. Those things that are basic to our relationship to God. This is what Peter says about it in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, we're pretty much going to be camping out there. We're going to take some excursions to other passages today, but 1 Peter is where we're going to be today. Starting in verse 2 of chapter 2. It says, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you see what he says there? The point of the milk of Scripture is that you would mature in your salvation. Hear me clearly on this. Salvation is not something you have. Salvation is something that has you and you grow into. Salvation is something that we are destined to mature and develop in our life. It's opposed to like a flower slowly blooming, manifest itself in our daily lives. As time goes on and the baby matures, the diet is going to change though. We were all brought up on either milk or formula. But at some point, you got to introduce the pureed peas. And at some point beyond that, you get to introduce steak. There has to be development with maturity and growth. There is a trajectory here. And that's what the author of Hebrews is talking about when he says in Hebrews 5:12, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, we'll touch on that later on today, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. He's saying, these are the elementary things when we are talking about Christ. That is the foundational principle. That is where maturity is supposed to come from. And he goes on to say, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So while the growth stages of a baby give us a really good picture of our spiritual walk that we are to be developing, we are supposed to be maturing, we are supposed to be growing throughout our lives, the analogy breaks down at the point of how the different maturities happen. With a baby, you plug in the bottle, change the diapers, make sure they sleep. The growth naturally happens unless there is some significant condition involved. But spiritually, it's not that simple. It has to be intentional. It has to be something that we are working on. See, growth for the baby Christian only happens as much as we intentionally conform ourselves to the image of Christ that we see in Scripture. Spiritual growth depends on our actions. And there are Christians who have been saved for decades, but spiritually they are still babies, incapable of understanding the deeper truths of God's Word. Now, don't let me be misunderstood at this point. While it does require us to act, it is not depending on us. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I want you to understand that without action, there will be no growth. Without participation on our part, we are going to be spiritual pygmies, stunted. And we have to get into the deeper truths of God's Word. And I don't mean a spiritual plane. I don't mean a third level of interpretation. What I mean is we need to so thoroughly understand the Word of God that we begin to understand the heart of God. That's where he reveals it to us. That is how growth happens. Peter says it in his second letter, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen." See, growth happens in one of two directions. Because in life, growth is not an option. You are always growing. Think back to who you were last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Are you the same person today that you were then? No. You've changed. You've developed. You've transformed. And some of us have either matured or worsened. At the same time, it is true in the Christian life. We are always growing. The only question here is in what direction, because this verse says you're going to head in one of two directions, and this is your only option. You are either going to head closer to God or farther away from Him. You are either going to be drawn away from Him by what comes naturally or by maturing and growing and fighting against it. Our natural inclination away from God, you will be drawn closer to Him. So we grow to avoid spiritual dwarfism and pursue maturity. Now this is a goal. Look, we aren't going to reach in this life, are we? Can any one of you say you are spiritually mature? You have arrived? If so, I want to meet you later just to get your secret. None of us, right? Because honestly, I think there were some people here that went, "Yeah, I do, but I'm not going to raise my hand because that just feels wrong. Feels arrogant." Well then, there you go. There's your area for growth. Pride. Peter's point here is that we need to be constantly on the way towards this goal, getting closer to it all the time. He's saying, don't settle for a B minus. Push for that A plus. So many times we settle for those things that are elementary, for those things that are small, and think there's no way I could ever go further than that. Friends, God designed you to grow. But this isn't about us. In our growth, we can get self-focused, self-centered, and kind of selfish with the whole thing. And we forget what our true main purpose. What is the main purpose for the church? According to what we have said over the past 5 weeks, Grace Baptist Church exists, amen, to glorify God. So we grow to pursue maturity, but we grow also to glorify God. We grow to show God's glory. Growing more like God in our character, in our will, and in our thought life, that doesn't make us the object of praise. Our hope and prayer when we grow is not that people look at us and go, "Wow, what a mature Christian," but "Wow, what a great God that person follows." We show His glory. 2 Peter, pardon me, I said earlier we would be in 1 Peter, I lied. There's an area I need to grow. We'll be in 2 Peter, chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. This whole letter from Peter is about growth. And that growth, when we look at this passage, is a call on our lives to God's glory. We are progressing in His excellence. And as we grow in His holiness, righteousness, mercy, justice, grace, and love, all that He is will begin to show itself through us. It will begin to shine in our lives. We share the image that God designed us to bear. We become what Peter calls partakers of the divine nature. When we grow, it's like cleaning off a mirror. Have you ever walked into an old home and there's this dust or film-covered mirror? And as you begin to wipe it, you begin to see your reflection a little more clearly. And as you continue to wipe, you see more of the picture. That is the whole point of growth. That there are things in our life that are obscuring the image of God that the world around us so desperately needs to see. And because of sin, whether that's sin in our life or just sin as a part of our current condition, has corrupted it and covered it. So we grow. And as we grow, it's all about taking that back to the image we were supposed to be carrying ever since the beginning. Peter goes on to say, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." And this is not a step one, step two, step three, step four type of list. This is a networking list. He's saying, to each one of these things, add the other things. We have to be getting A pluses in all of these things. Now, as I look at that list, I am seeing some C's and D's in my own life. Because I'm human too. Yes, your pastor is a human. And if we're honest, I think we would all look at this and say, okay, there are definitely some things here that I'm not doing so well. There's an area for us to grow. And it's not a, oh, shame on us. It's a praise God He let us see it. That He didn't let us live complacent lives. That He wants us to be just like Him. Because honestly, who in the world is more virtuous than God? A virtue is something good. Who has more goodness than God? And what about knowledge? If there's anything that can be known, God knows it. He's better than Google. And knowledge with self-control. Not only is God self-controlled, He controls the universe. And self-control with steadfastness. There is no one more faithful than God. His love never fails. He is always going to keep His promises. And steadfastness with godliness. Who's more like God than God? Good answer. Nothing. Nobody. And brotherly affection. Who has more affection and intimacy than God, the three in one, who forever in eternity past was connected in a way that you cannot separate one from the other? That type of affection. And affection with love. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Who showed the greatest form of love? God. God is inviting you to become like Him. To be part of who He is. Then Peter goes on to say, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Your knowledge was meant to have an effect. Was meant to be productive in these character qualities. And they have to be ours, not just ours as in you have them, okay, you've arrived. He says they have to be an ever-increasing quality. Okay, last year I was 97% knowledgeable. This year I'm pressing for 98. Is that what he's talking about here? No, because I don't even know how you'd measure that. He is talking about it is to be ever-increasing. Comparing yourself to last year or the last decade, have you been doing better or worse in these qualities? Have you been growing or have you been shrinking? Which direction have you been growing in them? So we grow for God's glory, but our growth is not only for the here and now, but for eternity future. We grow to embody eternity. Growth means that our life is on a trajectory. Remember this. We are headed from one point to another. We are bound for heaven. The Bible is pretty clear that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. But that doesn't happen until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means everyone, absolutely everyone, has a next step to take in their walk with God. That means that on this side of eternity, every one of us is to be growing. We never stop. And when we forget that and begin to live in the here and now, stagnation and decay will ultimately happen. In the natural world, when growth stops happening, decay automatically will step in and take care of it and have a growth of its own. As Peter puts it in verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Not that you will never fail, but you are not going to fall away from God's growth for your life. "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Peter shows us that God has a purpose behind all of the growth in our life that goes beyond just having a nice day today. I got to be honest, sometimes I hear people talking about reading the Word of God and, you know, my day is just so much better after I do that in the morning. That is not the purpose of reading the Word of God so that you have a better day. Yes, ideally you will have a better day, but that's a byproduct. It is an embodiment of an eternity. It is reminding us this isn't home. We aren't done yet. There is constant growth to be done. And when we are growing, we are living in light of eternity. We are made more like Christ, who is the King of the eternal kingdom that we are all headed for if you are a Christian. We embody eternity. The daily being shaped more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, of our character, heart, and our mind are all being brought into alignment with his living out heaven here on earth. Because eternity doesn't start when you die. The day that you started to live spiritually is when eternity started for you. As a Christian, our eternity started when we surrendered to Christ's kingship. So we are embodying eternity when we grow to be more like him, because we're just following him. So we grow for our maturity, God's glory, and our place in eternity. But how do we do this? We talked about the why. That's the motivation. What's the method behind all this? Is it really as simple as some make it sound, or as complex as others seem to think? How are we going to grow? Let me just state it very clearly. It's not by trying harder. When we are first saved, it's wonderful. We hear about this God that loved us so much that we saw a gap between us and him, and there was no way we were going to bridge that gap, but he decided to bridge across that gap with a cross. And that grace won us over. And we are so astounded. We are in love. We are in awe at this God. But later on, at some point, we begin to realize there's another gap that we focus on. The gap between the person we are and the person we are meant to be. And we look at that gap and we go, man, how are we ever going to get across that? We've got to try harder. We've got to do better. And we think it all relies on us. So we hear about people getting up at 4 a.m. to pray, spending a full hour in prayer. And we hear about people reading through the Bible in 3 months. So we try those things. And we realize that we are so grouchy at 4 a.m., not even Jesus wants to talk to us. And we might be able to read through the Bible in 90 days, but ask us what we actually read, and we have no clue. But I can tell you I read 9, 10, 13 chapters today. Oh my word, how could you remember any of it? You're just looking at words at that point. And we fail. We realize that it's just too difficult, so we quit. We quit, and then we feel guilty about quitting. So we start to fall away, and then we're like, oh, no, let's try something else. And we fail at that, and we get stuck in this cycle of guilt, trying, failing, guilt, trying, failing, guilt, trying, failing. How do we stop this cycle? How do we get out of it? How are we going to grow? Instead of growing, we get caught in a cycle. Let's stop the cycle. These things are important. Reading God's Word, praying, fasting, giving, being at church, spending time with other Christians, all the things that we talk about as spiritual disciplines, they are important factors for growth. But it's not by trying harder in them that we're going to grow. What if we ask the question more specifically? Instead of what will help us grow, what will help us grow closer to God? What will help us grow and be more like Christ? See, if we ask it that way, The answer is the same thing that saved us in the first place, because we were far from God, enemies, and we were brought close to Him by the grace of God. God's grace. See, sometimes we know that we're saved by grace through faith, because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says it, but the rest of it, that's up to us, right? No, we live and follow and are being saved from the sin in our lives by the same grace that brought us to Him. That is the same grace that's bringing us closer to Him every day through faith. So we grow by depending on grace. Ultimately, our growth in Christ is not something we can make happen. We're involved in the process, but God is the one who brings it about. Paul puts it this way, I planted, Apollos waters, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. Yeah, we scatter the seed, but we are powerless to make that seed grow. Ask any farmer, how do you make a seed grow? You don't. Trust God to do it. You just plant it. You do everything it takes to help that that seed to grow. God gives the growth. So what is our part of the growth? This deals with our focus, which is not on our actions, methods, efforts, or determination. Our focus must be, as it always should be, the glory of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do all to the glory of God. When we do that, growth becomes the natural byproduct. Friends, self-improvement is not part of God's plan for your life any more than self-salvation ever was. It is a work in His life, or it is His work in your life, rather. God's plan is for those who have faith in Him to be made righteous, and for the righteous to live by faith. All of that is entirely dependent on God's grace. Christian, if you are growing in the faith, you owe it entirely to God's grace. He designed us to be given, guided, and guarded, and energized by the grace of God. To live in grace is to follow His leading. And to follow His leading means we do what His Word says and how the Spirit leads. We aren't going to do it perfectly. We recognize that. Growth is not a perfect line upward. Oh, it's going to have its dips. We're going to mess up a lot. And that is why it is so important to know that His grace is sufficient for us. Paul had something that was holding him back. He asked God to take it away. And you remember how God answered him? My grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for us as well. So we say to Him, God, with your help, as best I can, I will do what you say. I will give you my life, my time, and my obedience, fully depending on His grace. See, our part is not to produce the growth. But I want to couple this with, it's also not lazy passivity, where we just sit back like watching a movie. We were watching Air Force One. I didn't save the airplane, Harrison Ford did. That's not what it's like when it's in a spiritual warfare. It looks a whole lot more like aggressive surrender. Putting down anything in our life that rises up in enmity to God. We are still going to be fighting. It is still going to be very active. It looks like pushing everything aside that gets in our way of getting closer to God and actually pursuing those things that bring us closer to Him. That's why we do those devotions. That's why we pray. That's why we do everything that we call a spiritual discipline, to draw closer to God, to allow His heart to be imprinted onto ours, because we grow by getting closer to God. God has designed us to grow closer to Him and has given us everything necessary to experience that growth. Everything we need to grow in godliness. Our ultimate aim in growth is godliness, being like Him. And where does that all come from? Look back again at 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. What we need comes through the knowledge of Him. That's the key to obtaining everything we need. And where does our knowledge of Him come from? Here. Folks, mystical experiences, spiritual encounters, being led by the Spirit, that is all in submission to God's Word. If what your spiritual encounter says doesn't agree with this, I'm sorry, that spiritual encounter wasn't from a good one. It has to be in submission to God's Word. That is why Peter goes on to say later in this letter, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." To grow, growth is not our goal. Growth is the natural byproduct of focusing on God, of pursuing him and being in a closer relationship with him. When Jesus prayed for his disciples, he didn't say, "Lord, let them have a great devotional life." He said, "Lord, may they be one with you, even as you and I are one." Our closeness to God. The main measure of our growth is not our devotional life. It's our connection and similarity to God. Have you experienced his goodness? Do you crave more of him? Do you want to be closer to him? Then, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The more you taste of God, the more you want of him. Do you think there's a reason you go to a store and they hand out free samples? It's not because they have excess stock and want to get rid of it. It's because once you taste how good something is, you want to buy the whole thing. And the amazing thing is, with God, it is continuously drawing us closer to him. When we experience the grace and goodness of God, we will grow to love him and want to spend more time with him. At the end of all this, our hope is not to be a good Bible reader, a good prayer giver, a faithful church attender, or apparently a mature Christian. Those are all good things. But ultimately, those things serve the purpose of our plea that we see in Hosea 6:3 when he says, "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord." We want to be close to him. Growth, biblically speaking, is just finding new ways to surrender your will to God's, to live out the text of the Bible in the pages of your life, to walk and talk more like Jesus, to dive deeper into your relationship with your Heavenly Father, of discovering new ways he wants to sculpt your heart to make it look more like his. See, it's not about what we are doing. It's about what he is doing in us. But we make the time and space for God to be able to do that, don't we? That's why we set that time aside. The things we do that we call spiritual disciplines are like a cord that would plug an otherwise inoperative appliance into a power source that makes it actually function and do what it's supposed to do and work the way it should. They connect us to the power and personality of Jesus. They give us access to the life that flows only from him. See, it's not about what you are doing, but who you are focusing on when you are doing it. A walk in the woods can be just as much a devotional as reading the pages of Scripture. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmaments show forth his handiwork." Creation is crying out about its creator. Who are you focusing on? He has a plan for you and who he wants you to be. The only way to walk further down that pathway that he is leading you is to take another step closer to him. He takes a step, and so do you. He takes a step, and so do you. He steps to the side. You follow the same step. He is constantly leading. And the more he leads, the more we grow, the more we become like him. And when we are all growing closer to God, an amazing thing happens. Last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about kids playing follow the leader. When we are all following the leader, you know what happens? Have you ever seen a group of kids playing follow the leader? They don't end up in this amoeba-shaped mass that has no defined connection. They're all close to the leader, and they all end up close together. See, when we grow together. This goes back to that foundational of connecting. We talked about worshiping in the glory of God, and the why? Well, in the how, it's about connecting. We are to grow in so many ways, and we do that best in community. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." We grow best when we grow together. Now, don't let me be misunderstood here. God has a unique growth journey for you to go along with him on, just you and him. Your path will cross with others from time to time, but your path is uniquely handcrafted by God for you. Your life is one of a kind. Don't try to copy anybody else. Your journey will not look the same as anyone else's because you are not them. Spiritual growth has its categories and chapters. There are going to be some things that are similar, some experiences that we share. But the journey is not uniform for us all. We are all going to grow differently. What is uniform, the only thing that is uniform in this, is where the information comes from for our transformation, the Word of God. That is the only thing that is uniform. But growth happens in community when we connect properly. As Paul says in Ephesians 4:12, that these people that God has given for church leadership were given to equip the saints to the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Get this. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Folks, we are growing together more like Christ. That's the measure of maturity. Are you like Christ? Have you measured up to His stature? I don't think any one of us could ever say in this life that we have. Jesus is our standard for what maturity looks like, and we become like Him together. We challenge each other to do good works. We carry one another's burdens. We restore each other. We encourage each other. We care for each other. We comfort each other. We teach each other. We hold each other accountable. We coach each other. All of these things we do to help each other grow. We are each helping everyone take the next step because we all have a next step to take. So, what's the motive for growth? We grow for God's glory. We grow to pursue maturity, and we grow to embody eternity. What's the method? How do we grow? We grow by daily depending on God's grace, actively seeking to be closer to Him, and connecting to a community of God's people that have more wisdom than just us individually. But that leads us to one last big question. What will this look like? What will our means of growth be? What will Grace Baptist look like if we are pursuing growth like this? Let's turn back to our model. Those three pillars, the grow pillar. In this pillar, the level of knowledge and wisdom deepens based on each level. The very first level is just the facts, narratives, big beliefs, a general outline of the Bible. This is understanding what the whole book is about. This is understanding Genesis is about God creating. Revelation is about God recreating. And all the other books in between deal with the in-between time. While we're waiting. That's actually why we have a beginnings class. Every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, in 1 year's time, you'll go from beginning to end in the Bible just to see what's there, to experience it, and to see what God is doing through all this. That's basics, just getting a picture of the Bible. But then the next level, being able to study. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." In other words, you're going to grow by the Word of God. This next level deals with how do we study God's Word? How do we know what it means when it says certain things? How do we know that everything we believe comes from Scripture? It's going to include training in what's known as systematic theology. That's taking teachings of certain books and connecting the pieces together so we get a full picture of what God says about certain things. That'll be this next level, being able to take it and integrate things together. And this is going to teach some controversies in Scripture. This is going to deal with distinctives. If I asked you, what's the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist, could you tell me anything other than the music or what the preacher wears? See, that's a distinctive. Why are we Grace Baptist? Okay, that's why we need this. So we understand biblically where we are. And then the next level is application. Hebrews tells us, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice in distinguishing good from evil." The point of it is not just to have a whole bunch of information up here, but to have life transformation flowing from here. And that's why we get to this point. If we have the basics and we have studied God's word, it's supposed to live its way out. And we're able to take Scripture and apply it to daily life. This leads us to an awareness of the implications of biblical truth. That's going to be the next level of training here. That's what we do here during the time that we have preaching. We learn how it transforms our lives. That's part of Sunday school. That's part of everything that we do, is learning how to be transformed by the Word of God. And the ultimate goal here is being self-leading. This is being able to turn around and teach others, discipling the next generation. Because Hebrews 5:12 says this, we already looked at it. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. You, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. At the beginning of that verse, he says, you should be mature to the point that you can teach. Look, if you ever get to the point that you come to preaching and you're not getting anything, you come to Sunday school and you're not gaining anything, you might even be part of a small group and you're not growing in anything, and you start saying, man, I'm just not getting anything, let me just spare you the conversation. That's time for you to teach. If you have matured to the point that the teaching that you are getting and the preaching you are getting is basic enough to you that you're not gaining anything, it's so familiar to you, you need to turn around and teach the next generation because you've been familiar with it. You should be mature enough to teach. That's the ultimate goal here, is being able to turn around and teach others because you yourself have been taught. This is going to happen through the classes and personal discipleship. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, I encourage you strongly to have someone that you are teaching how to teach. That you are teaching everything that you know and bringing them up to the point that now they can go do their own class, or they can do their own small group, or their own Bible study. I'm not going to embarrass this person, but I have actually discovered one of our teens leading Bible study on his own. Nothing makes my heart more proud than to hear a young person is trying to teach. That is a huge sign of maturity. Because I guarantee you one thing, if you are teaching, you are going to learn so much more. Anybody who has taught knows this. This is what it's going to look like as we grow. So, that wraps up the Grace ID series. This encapsulates, or rather expands, the vision I believe God has given Grace for what we are to be. And I hope that there is a visible difference that our faith would make here at Grace. I hope that the world can see a distinction between us and some charitable social club. I certainly hope they see a major difference in our personal lives. I pray that they see a difference, that God can use us to change the world. I pray that as we are growing, people see and want to be a part of what we are doing here, because they want to grow. They're not satisfied with where they are at in life either. That they want to be more like Christ. And they see Him here. They see God in us. And because they are drawn to God, that they would be drawn to us. That we would be able to grow together. That we would be able to grow in such a way that glorifies and honors God. That each one of us would daily commit to taking that next step and helping each other taking that next step. Would you stand and join us in singing one closing song?
Say that you're good soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all I am, I serve. Trust what you say, that you're good, that your love is great. I'm broken inside, I'll give you my life. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. Flesh may fail, my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside.
For spiritual battle, we can put your armor on, but we know that this battle is yours, that we are not going to grow more like you on our own. So Lord, we surrender ourselves, we lay ourselves down before you. Have your way with us, have your will in our life. Transform us, take away what needs to be taken away, and add what needs to be added. Lord, we are tired of what sin has done. We are tired of losing that battle. Lord, give us the freedom of being what you have designed us to be. That liberty of knowing that we have fulfilled the purpose we were created for. Let us be conformed into your image. Lord, we look forward to the day that that work is completed and you return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we do not lose hope. For though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. As you go, grow.